Welcome, everyone, to THP Radio. I'm your host, JB, and today we have a new episode of the show sweeping the on-demand talk radio world called The Golf Industry Uncut. Each episode of Uncut will feature one of the brilliant minds from the golf industry, and they will be placed in the hot seat to discuss equipment, technology, and the entire golf industry landscape. Today we are honored to welcome one of the brightest minds in the industry, and he is Director of Brand Management at Callaway Golf, Jason Finley, to the show, and he took some time out while being on the road. Are you ready to step into the hot seat?
Sure, I think so.
THP Radio is your new twist on on-demand audio in the world of golf. In the golf industry, Uncut is your complete access to the equipment world that you are craving the info on. The way the show works is easy. Once the record button is pressed, there's no editing done until the show ends, so you hear it all. Our only rule is a simple one. Every guest must be accessible either on the THP forum or through social media. So before we dive right into it, Jason, can you tell them how they can reach you?
Yeah, obviously you can find me on the forum. Not as much as I would like sometimes, but you can find me there. And you can also find me on Twitter at JasonFinleyCG.
Perfect. We're going to jump right into it because your background's rather unique as you've been with Callaway for a long time. How did you get started in the golf industry, and what are the different positions you've held at Callaway Golf?
Well, we don't have enough time on this to go through all the different positions, but I'll give you a quick little rundown. So I grew up in San Diego and worked at a golf course there in town and all through school, and realized I wanted to work in the golf business. So I actually talked to a couple different companies, but for some reason I got my head stuck on wanting to work at Callaway. So I had known a couple people, both that I had worked with at a local resort here, and then gotten to know as they came out to play golf, and through networking, and ended up getting a job at Callaway. Started out actually running the air cannons in the durability lab to get my foot in the door, and I wanted to work at Callaway that bad. So didn't make much money and got off to a fun start, but and then lucky enough, after about 6 weeks, I was able to move down to the test center, and I worked there for about 7 years. And then so I was in R&D for my first 7 years at Callaway. And then from there, I moved into the marketing department, and I've kind of been there ever since. I had a little role for a while in product strategy that I was in, but we've now moved that back into the marketing function.
So during your time at the testing center, you've mentioned that you guys would play all kinds of different games out there, hitting balls. Can you give us one highlight?
Well, the 4 o'clock putting matches were probably the highlight for me, outside of work, of course. We got there early in the morning to run all the testing in the best, calmest weather conditions. So we were all there anywhere between 5:30 and 6 every day, and at the end of the day, we were all young and single and without kids at that time. So we used to have a little bit of fun out there on the putting green, and just a little cash exchanged hands, perhaps. Probably shouldn't say that, but we may have had some fun competition.
While we have a lot of listeners, I don't think the IRS is listening here. You're a golfer first. As you said, you came from the club side and played growing up, and you deal with a lot of equipment. Do you still have that excitement when it comes around to a new release, like all golfers? And what was the last product that during creation you could not wait for to get released to put in your bag?
Well, I don't usually have to wait for it to get released to put in my bag, first of all. But the ones that I am a golfer at heart, and I still get really excited about new stuff. And I don't think that I play too many consecutive rounds with the same bag. And some would argue that's probably not the best for my game, but I like to make sure I try everything and play everything. So probably the thing that I was most excited to launch in recent history was Chrome Soft Golf Ball. And that is a product that I remember actually being on a golf trip, and Harry was with us and actually made a hole-in-one with Chrome Soft probably 7 months before we even launched it. And it was one of the first prototypes of that golf ball, and remembering on that trip how much I loved it and couldn't wait for us to bring it out. And certainly we've seen what happens ever since we have. So it's been exciting to watch that for sure. But, you know, going way back in time, I was around at Callaway when we launched the X12 iron, And that was a really exciting one because I had been playing Blades before I came to Callaway. And when I first started at Callaway, I played the original Big Bertha Iron, which that was a pretty good transition from Blades to that.
Slightly.
So the X-12 Iron was an exciting one way back.
And how long did you play those for, or were you, next product cycle, you always like to have the newest in the bag?
I like to play our newest stuff, if I can. And, you know, we have so many options that it's pretty easy to find something that will work for me. But I think everything in my bag is something we've come out with in the last year for sure.
Can you give everybody a rundown of what's in the bag right now?
Sure. I have a... Do you want me to go like super technical and get all internet nerdy and talk shafts and everything?
That's totally up to you.
I have an XR16 driver, the standard one, with an Oban Hashimoto shaft. And then I have a XR16 3 Plus that has a Fujikura Pro shaft in it and 63. And then I have currently an Apex 3H and 4H with the Mitsubishi Kurokage. And then I play the Apex CF16 irons in 5-iron through a wedge. Then those have the Troop Temper XP95. And then I have a two MacDaddy 3 wedges to kind of close out the bag that have XP105 shafts. And I use the Golf Pride New Decade on all of them. So pretty standard set, I would say.
And I remember not too long ago, I watched a thing on through Callaway Media that said you didn't know if you wanted to be a two hybrid guy, and now you're a two hybrid guy.
I am. I've got a little bit of an issue at the top end of my bag, so I'm debating if I want to go to a two hybrid or a five wood. So I'm kind of playing around with that. So I got to figure that out next time I play golf. But so I'm messing around with that, and then obviously I have an Odyssey. Number one wide tank Odyssey Works putter.
Now the Gauntlet is coming right around, and for those that don't know, the Gauntlet is an event hosted by THP and Callaway Golf, and there's six captains from Callaway Golf, and each captain has three THPers, our forum members, playing for them. You're one of the captains. Do you have an early prediction, and who do you think will be a big rival?
Well, they're all rivals because I want to win. So really, they're all rivals. I mean, I think to any time you have somebody that's dominant in something, and we'll get to that when we talk about the granddaddy, obviously, given our domination. So, you know, beating J-Rod.
That's
and
one,
sure
by the way.
J-Rod,
I'm supposed to keep account of the digs.
Yeah. Getting J-Rod to not win more than anything else would be a good thing. So if I don't win, I don't care who wins other than as long as it's not J-Rod.
And have you played Wekopa or Desert Golf recently?
No. But I think it tends to play to my strength. So I'm pretty happy that we're going there. You know, I got a couple guys that we're playing against that won't be able to keep it out of the cactus. So I like my chances there.
Do you care to give out those names?
Well, it shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, Velardo goes through stretches where he doesn't hit the broadside of a barn, so that'll be good. AJ it has zero chance playing Desert Golf. Plus, he'll try and like hit it out of a cactus at some point, so that won't be good for him. I better bring a first aid kit. Steven's going to be hitting it in the left. You better hope there's no cactus on the left side of the golf course all day, so... I tend to keep it in front of me usually, and haven't been playing a whole lot, but hopefully I can pull something together and have a good weekend and have, you know, more importantly, we'll have a lot of fun, that's the key to the whole thing.
We will have a lot of fun. Now, it wouldn't be fair to have you on the show and not talk about the granddaddy. So one of the hardest things, this is something that comes up a lot, and one of the hardest things to do for someone that has been in a THP Callaway event, and more specifically the granddaddy, is to explain it. So if you were asked, and I'm sure you have been, to explain the granddaddy in a nutshell, how would you explain it?
I would say it's, you know, one of the best events that anyone, you know, outside of the professional tours probably puts together. And I say that, you know, that sounds a little aggressive maybe, but I think from top to bottom, from not only, you know, being able to let people experience something that, you know, you can't really pay for, in any way through the trip. You know, if you think about what we've done, all the way from having, you know, an experience at the Performance Center, having, you know, Roger Cleveland there, to getting your clubs built overnight, to insider access of the R&D facility, to sitting and having lunch with, you know, not only, you know, us, the Zoo Crew, which still is a little bothersome that people like and enjoy that, but, you know, Chip Brewer was in there and Roger Cleveland and Alan Hocknull, and having access to that whole crew. And then, you know, really doing the golf portion of the event at such a special place of the Hideaway. You know, and then top to bottom, just the whole experience. I think it's just a really cool event.
Before we go on to the final question, which is also Granddaddy related, can you kind of expand on that with what is an itinerary like for the Granddaddy, without giving away what any changes that are coming this year, for somebody who may not have followed or that is new to THP or one of our listeners that's not part of the forum? What is the itinerary like, or has it been?
Yeah, so going back to, let's go through what last year was. So the group came in on a Sunday afternoon.
Before you go on, I should say Callaway flies you in. It's not like you arrive.
Sorry. Yeah, we bring the group in, and you know, it's a Callaway trip. So we actually, you know, take care of the flight arrangements and the whole thing. So, you know, it goes way back to getting that whole process started, but. Which certainly you guys are a part of, but you know, we get everybody booked. They come in on Sunday night, stay at the Sheraton there in Carlsbad, have a kind of a THP group dinner the first night as a team. Last year we brought in the gear, uniforms and everything for everybody on Sunday night. Monday morning, Team THP hops on a bus and meets all of us over at the Ely Callaway Performance Center. Monday morning for a fitting session, and we have fittings going on, and we've had Roger Cleveland there. We've had our putting studio open. We do some tours of the facility. And while everybody's kind of moving around, going through all that process in the morning, you know, we're all there, the Zoo Crew, to kind of help and facilitate it with the fitters and get the orders in as people get fit. And kind of the pro tour group starts building the clubs during that time. Then this year we did some R&D tours and kind of our building tours. So I took everybody through the marketing group where we fit every day and, showed them around, had a good time, had a little lunch with, the Zoo Crew and the executive team and some of the R&D leads as well. Just talking about product and Callaway and the business in general. And then, we hopped on a bus and headed to Palm Springs. I mean, you can talk a little bit about that too.
Yeah, and the Palm Springs trip is kind of a rite of passage, I would say.
Yeah,
everybody.
It's fun. You know, we have some fun on the way over. Start building some camaraderie as a group and get everybody together. And usually one or two funny incidents happen on the bus, and then go to a nice dinner Monday night, kind of set the teams for the next day. And then the next day we play 27 holes. So three different 9-hole matches where, we all have a partner and we play three different formats, and, each of the matches count as a point and, to varying levels of success for THP, and then go to a nice dinner.
That's
the
two.
Second night. Yeah, there'll be more. And then we go to a nice dinner the second night somewhere there in Palm Springs and release the matches for singles. So it's a lot of fun. And at this point, you know, we're all gotten to know a little bit about each other and have some good conversations and just generally having a good time and spending time together. And then get together the next morning and play our singles matches and see how the outcomes play out. But it's been a lot of fun. And then we hop on a bus and head home and usually end up saying our goodbyes about 6 or 7 o'clock on the third night, and the THP team generally heads home the next day. So all in all, it's a really cool event, a really great experience. We're really lucky to be able to do it at Hideaway, and Matt and his whole crew there have been been really nice to us, and the group at Discovery Land Company is, you know, great to let us do there. And really, we couldn't do it without the members that help us out as well. So all a great group of guys that have, a couple of whom have done it a couple times now. So hopefully we're able to continue that tradition and be able to still do it out there.
And that sounds like a great thing to have happen. Now, finally, about the granddaddy, and I think it's often overlooked because, and I'll get to the THP side of it in a second, but for the zoo crew, it's kind of a big deal. I mean, I've been out there walking through the office where people didn't know if they were going to make the team or they finally got the call up like Velardo last year. Can you kind of explain why it's such a big deal for you guys and that it really is that big of a deal?
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely is that big of a deal, and don't think that there's not some attention inside the building on it as well. I mean, a lot of people are, oh, there goes the marketing team again out, you know, screwing around playing golf for a couple of days, and you know, there's a ton of work that goes into it for sure, but it is a great time for us, and I mean, as great as that experience that I described is for THPers, it's awesome for us to be a part of as well, and you know, for me personally, to see the passion and excitement that the group has around golf and learning more, not only about Cal and our products, certainly that's our selfish reason for doing it, but just the industry in general. And, you know, it always amazes me, even, you know, talking about an event like the Gauntlet, that how interested and in general people are of picking our brains and talking with us about what we do every day, because it tends to get lost a little bit that, you know, I go to work every single day and it's what I do. It's great that I get to do it in something that I'm passionate about and enjoy. And this is the kind of benefit of that. You know, if I did the same exact job on toilet paper, for instance, I wouldn't enjoy my job as much as I do. So it's great for us. And it is, you know, a big deal of who gets to go and all that. And, you know, that's the reason why we've added guys the last couple of years as well.
Now, you know, we're going to go on to the hot seat portion in a second, but I just wanted to say, you know, everything you've described, I've been through all of them, some as a player, some as just a spectator. And one of the things that comes out of everything is two thoughts come away with most people. Number one, you've ruined golf for them forever because they have to go back to their local club and they just don't know what to do. And two, that it literally has changed lives for people, and I don't think that they can thank you enough. And the easiest way to say that and to look at it is everything from all companies, from all equipment is compared to it right now, at least in the digital online world. And that says a lot. But we wouldn't be doing the Industry Uncut if we didn't put you on the hot seat. So are you ready for the fire away portion of the show?
Sure.
Okay. You're a San Diego guy that travels all over the place. What city do you look forward to going for food?
For food. Probably one I'm going to be at in the next couple days. And Chicago has pretty good food generally.
What are your favorite pizza toppings?
I'm a pretty simple guy. I'm a meat guy on pizza.
When you're not watching sports, what is your favorite TV show?
Sports Center doesn't count.
No, that doesn't count.
Probably something that my kids can watch with us. So we tend to watch stuff like The Amazing Race and The Voice of the Family. So we don't get a whole lot of that time together. So probably that.
You have a choice. You're a guy who travels and flies, and you know you have a specific airline, and like a lot of us who travel a lot, status is important. You have a choice between these two things: an hour delay and you get your upgrade, or no delay but in the back of the plane. Which do you choose?
Am I going home or going to a destination?
We'll say going home for this one.
I would probably just try and get home.
Nice PC answer. Favorite movie?
I don't know that I have an all-time favorite. Something funny, You know, there's nothing that I would say I absolutely can watch over and over again. I mean, there's movies that I'll stop on, but it would definitely be something funny. I'm not a serious kind of movie guy or drama or scary or any of that. Something funny.
You're grabbing a snack from a vending machine at a hotel or somewhere else. What do you look for first?
A bag of chips.
Outside of Jason Finley, who was the best trash talker in the Zoo Crew?
Best,
and they don't have to be able to back it up.
Best or most frequent?
I would say best.
My answer probably would have been different 2 years ago. Johnny's not bad. You know, there's a couple sneaky ones in there. Nate Adelman likes to talk a big game. I don't know that he can necessarily back it up. So I wouldn't say anyone's that great at all. AJ talks a lot. I don't know that it's trash talk, but he talks a lot.
You have full choices available. What do you put on a hot dog?
Ketchup. Ketchup only.
The best form for the potato.
Best form of a potato?
Yeah, French fries, baked potato, mashed potato.
French fry. Curly fry.
And finally, what is the best rivalry in the Zoo Crew? It can include you, but it does not have to.
I don't think it includes me. I would say there's been a couple good ones, you know, over time. Goral and Velardo is always pretty entertaining. Just because Scotty G is so kind of quiet and he's kind of sneaky in that way. So that one's a good one. You know, everybody wants to beat me.
Can't imagine why that is.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably Goral and Velardo's been one of the ones with the most history. Everybody wants to beat Johnny just because if you can beat him, it's kind of an accomplishment, if you get my drift.
Well, he does use something other than the USGA handicapping system.
Well, no, I wouldn't. I will say this about Johnny. Johnny, in a certain type of event, like the Granddaddy, where it's all about fun and having a great time and not being super serious, Johnny's handicap is not legit. But if I took Johnny and played him in the City Am, where it was serious and everybody wasn't there to have a good time, I would play him for any amount that he ever wanted to at whatever handicap he was.
However, 10 handicaps don't shoot 68 or 69.
Well, they can if people know the full story about that event and that round, where you're playing a shamble, and you tend to do that, and when you're having a good time and drinking and going out and having a good time, it becomes a little easier. See, stories get overblown. It is the internet, after all.
Everything on the internet is true. You know that.
Okay.
So we want to thank Jason for coming on the show. Lots of exciting stuff coming for the Granddaddy. And if you've listened to this show, I hope you paid careful attention because the Granddaddy contests are about to kick off and you are going to want to make sure you have the information that Jason just gave us. So for myself and Jason Finley, so long, everybody.